Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tye.
Do you love an apple? Do you love a pear?
October is prime apple picking season in Wisconsin and the Midwest. Orchards not far at all from Milwaukee's city center allow people to pick their own, and for many families, doing so is a rite of passage.
Wisconsin foodie and Lake Effect contributor Kyle Cherik is all about good food, and apples certainly qualify.
I'm always promoting, you know, go out and garden, know where your food comes from, go to a farmer's market, those sorts of things. Apples are the one thing that even if you are a never leave your couch potato, or a I'm outdoors every day of the week, and everyone in between seems to want to go or does go out apple picking this time of year, which is great because Wisconsin has got a terrific crop. It's an ideal place to grow these things between our sun, between our lowsic soil, between our great source of water, and then the crisp nights were really ideal for this thing that came from the other side of the world originally.
Right. We think of apples as American, but they're not.
Oh, no, no, no. The expression as American as apple pie is a massive misnomer. They started out in basically a valley-ish area in the Tan Shan Mountains, and I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that Chinese name correctly, but these mountains are known as the little brother of the Himalayas. They have the second highest point in that section of the world and the lowest below sea level, and they go from China all the way over to Kazakhstan. And within a certain area, about 80 to 90 square miles, we have the originators of apples, cherries, peaches, almonds, walnuts. I mean, the list goes on. So this is designated a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and there are 300 wild varieties. And they first made their way out of there by animals saying, I like that sweet, low-hanging fruit. No pun, all pun intended. And eating it, and then walking a bit, and then as animals eat and move things through themselves, replanting it, if you will.
I was going to say it's nature's seed.
Yeah, distribution system.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Alexander the Great loved them. He is actually known for having taken a certain type of dwarf apple and moving it around the world because he thought it would be good for his armies. He also really adored the taste. There's writings about this. The Romans loved them. If anybody's into all the historic, you know, reenactment, Netflix kind of Amazon things happening right now with Rome, so many of the things when I watch them, I just cringe because they're just not historically accurate. The apple in the pig's mouth, 100% for sure.
Accurate.
Accurate.
Because they loved them so much.
They loved them so much. They took them to France. They took them to the British Isles. And the Mongols loved them too. So this was this fruit that was from that sort of just north of the cradle of civilization, when you think about the size of the globe, that so many people grew attached to. It transports easily. It keeps. It's a great sense of sustenance. I mean, think about the Roman three square a day. It was probably some version of hardtack, a very dry cheese, and an apple.
And you're pretty...
This is good. Like, you can go and conquer the world with that.
And they did.
In a leather skirt.
Centurion.
Yeah. No, that's right. And feathers on your head.
Feathers on your head. So when did the apple actually come to this side of the world, this hemisphere?
Sure. So Columbus did his thing by, you know, turning the Spaniards on, and they showed up in the 1400s. The apple didn't really come here until the 1600s with the Puritans. So they brought
it came from the UK, then?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Its closest cousin in the Americas, north and south, is the crab apple. So they...
And the crab apple was here.
The crab apple was here. Okay. Exactly. Yeah. So as the continent split apart and all of that story, the crab apple got a little toehold over here. But the Puritans brought it over, and they didn't bring it over to eat a juicy apple while they were setting up their cabins and things like that. They brought it over to make cider. The apples that they brought, we most certainly would not have wanted to bite into. We know that they drank cider on the passing. They would have grown apples here and pressed it into cider because this was a great source of sustenance and it was cleaner than water. The whole American pie thing, I mean, the pies that they were eating were meat pies, and we wouldn't have recognized. It was more of a crude dough, you know, wrap that you can put into a stone oven so the meat isn't directly on the oven. But they were spread, you know, the true story of Johnny Appleseed. He bought bushels of seeds from a Pennsylvania cider mill and came through Ohio and Illinois and those sorts of states, Indiana, and planted them. But he wasn't thinking about apples that we sent along with our children in their lunch for school. He was thinking about booze. He was thinking about cider. He was thinking about distilling. And I laugh now that the younger drinking crowd are getting turned on by all these hard ciders that Miller and others like that are doing, because dude, this is colonial stuff.
I was gonna say, this is like from the beginning of time.
Yeah, this is not retro. Yeah, this is going way, 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 way back.
Well, one of the cool things that I learned about apples, and this was from Michael Pollan, one of his earlier books, he kind of talked about different fruits and vegetables, and apples were one of them. And that is that if you take that apple that you send with your child to school and you save the core and the seeds,
right,
and you plant those seeds, you will not get the same apple that the seeds came
from. It's a genetic bait and switch. You
get
a completely different thing. That's why we have to graft. Every apple that is planted has a certain amount of genetics, but what grows from that is a different thing entirely.
Every single time.
Every single time, yeah. So when you think about it in those terms, what's profound is in the last 400 years, on an average number that I kept running into, and I'm no scientist with this, but the human species has created then 14,000 new apple varieties. So that's, oh, we like this, graft. Oh, we like this, graft. Oh, we don't like this. We don't graft, you know, and moving those forward. So certainly all of the apples that are available to us right now have been created in the last 400 years. Here in Milwaukee, you know, it was the folks that came in the 1800s that brought apples with them. Just like really any homesteading farmer this far west, I mean, every farm would have had an apple orchard on it for all kinds of reasons, but fruit for putting up, certainly through the cold winters and having that great source of vitamins, and even to a certain extent for feed. It wasn't until 1890 that the Wisconsin Horticultural Society got serious and said, okay, some of these apples are not growing so well through the winter, and others are, so let's plant them around the state. I think it was 25 different test spots, and then they really determined these are apples we can go forward with. Right now, with Wisconsin's apple crop, out of our 72 counties, apples are grown in 57 of them. And we have a great apple crop this year. It's expected by the USDA to be 17% better because of the light spring frost across the nation. So Wisconsin will most likely produce 42 million pounds of apples this fall, and the United States of America will produce 9.8 billion. So we like our apples.
We do. And it means you need to go out and pick some because there's so many out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got, within Wisconsin, we've got great resources. Anybody, I mean, it's a short drive. You don't really have to even leave the city. Get to the suburbs, and we've got some great orchards. And one question that I always get is, with apple growing, is are they organic? Oftentimes, many of these orchards are and are not. So the federal government's got organic standards, and you have to be expected and all of these other things. Most of the orchards are not following that, but they are following something called implemented pest management. So they use a different style of... It's really kind of sneaky what they'll do. They'll hang these little metal rods with a chemical on it that attracts the pests that would burrow into the apple. But instead, they'll try and mate with the metal rod. Now, to me, that just seems like, I don't know, sending a bunch of mannequins into a nightclub, and that's just not fair. You're not going to get anywhere with them. But what it does is it creates a great apple crop. Now, is that 100% organic in the sense? For me, it is, yes, because the chemical tinged metal rod doesn't touch the apples. It hangs from a far branch. You know, these sorts of things. They're not spraying, but just I want to give a heads up that these orchards are doing the right thing by consumers and their crop, but they can't use that, you know, almighty organic label.
So for you, do you have eating favorites that you go back to every year?
Yeah, I do. So the thing that really pulled me into apples was just the poetry of their names. I mean, listen to these. Pink Pearls, Wealthy, Ambrosia, Sweet Tango, Jupiter, Howgate Wonder, Laxton's Epicure, Merton Charm, Summer Free, Wine Sap, and my absolute favorite is the Zest Star. I mean, this is a poem. There, you know, it's gorgeous. And if you don't love apples for any other reason, love them for their names. They're American poetry, and it's really part of our heritage in this state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and in some ways, it is American as apple pie. It just is more recent.
Right. That's true. Certainly for Wisconsin, our weather and our soil and our water, and Michigan does a beautiful job, and there's several states, but we grow that type of seed fruit and stone fruit better than many other places in the globe. And so you can say it's a true Wisconsin apple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hey, let's go have one.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Thanks, okay. Kyle.
You bet. Thank you, Bonnie.
Lake Effect contributor Kyle Cherik is host of the award-winning television show, Wisconsin Foodie.